Okay, welcome to this special Friday evening stream from me on the Isle of Man here. I don't normally stream on a Friday, as you know, but I wanted to catch up with a few of the main stories from this week, which I wasn't able to let you know about because I was in France. So let's have a look at some of the big things I wanted to bring you up to speed on. The first one is highly dystopian. We've been talking about this for a long, long time now, and it has just passed in the first of the G7 countries. And I want to link a few other things together here, including Klaus, Professor Klaus, and what he's just announced as well. So we'll link all of this together so you can see what's actually happening. So this should be a nice short stream today, nothing too crazy. Let's get straight into the first one. Here we go. So Australia, if you're watching from Australia, the digital ID has just passed. You can see in orange here, the digital ID bill 2024 has passed Parliament. So that is it. It's done, ladies and gents. If you're in Australia, and there's also, remember, if you're in New Zealand as well, pay careful attention because that's on the way. So they've passed it basically, and they want to tell you how you create your digital ID to get started. You've got to be 15 years old, have an email address or mobile phone number, have a smartphone or smart device. Remember, the word smart actually means surveillance. So whenever you see smart anything, just replace that word with surveillance and you'll understand what is actually happening there. You then download the app, prepare the documents to help prove who you are. Yes, you naughty boys and girls out there, you've got to prove who you are. You can use your passport, driver's license, birth certificate, or your medical information. So this is wild, wild. Let's go on to the next part then. This was the bill that passed. If you want to read the bill, you can actually read it here. And what's interesting to me is that they, even though they said just a couple of years ago that, oh, this has come about because of cybersecurity, they're now saying, oh, this has been in the works for years. Some of the articles are saying 6 or 7 years they've been working on this. So it's obvious this was all going to come. So let's have a look at one of the articles then. And this is from Nine News. Australia has passed new national digital identity laws. This is what it means for you. Now, obviously, this is for Australia, but this is good for, well, let me use a different word. Oh, let me say that again. It's good for you to know what has happened because this tells you what is coming for us later on if you're in one of the G7 or well, a lot of the advanced economies. So what are they saying then? They're saying that this is now passed. This has come into law and it will come into effect in November of this year. And I want to show you how much propaganda they've put into this article. You'll see, the thing is, as I always say, anyone who is quite free thinking will notice this right away. Everyone will see right through these articles. Remember, you've always got to think with a critical mind. You've got to look at these articles, look what they're putting out, and be very critical when you see it. Okay. So why do you need them then? Well, the answer is you don't need them. You don't need it at all. This is all about surveillance. They say then that the system allows you to quickly identify yourself without having to provide points of ID. Well, why? Like, that doesn't even make any sense anyway. They call it a painful process, right? So they're using all of these sort of words. They give examples. Okay, if you get pulled over by the police, you can scan your face, show your digital ID, and that way you can prove who you are. Well, why do I need to prove who I am anyway if a police officer pulls me? I mean, I'm not really sure. Yes, if I've done some sort of a crime or they're investigating something, but I mean, I don't really get it. Why, if someone just decides they randomly want to pull me over, do I have to provide all of this, all of my personal information that they says they can download? Well, I don't really want all my personal information being downloaded by by someone. But okay, let's go with it, and let's say this is a good thing for security and policing and everything else. Let's just go with that line. This is where it gets a little bit grey, though, for me. In fact, it's over the line. The thing I like about this scheme is they're talking about also having third parties involved. No one said that. Let's just be upfront. No one that they surveyed said this. They're making it up. They're pre-programming yet again. Oh yeah, what do you think of this new digital ID, Mr. Jones? Well, I tell you, I can't wait to have these third parties involved. Yeah, he didn't say that. No one said that. So what are the benefits? In short, security. No, it's not about security. It's about surveillance. This is what it's about. Now, this is where you know that the article is made up. Are there any concerns about the digital ID? Yes, dozens of them. Well, no, only one remains, apparently. There's just this one. And what is this one? Is it surveillance? Is it how it could be used to control us? No, it's voluntariness, inclusion. Yes, inclusion, you know, it's all this new ESG stuff. Some people wouldn't be included in it, and their accessibility, this could be discriminatory towards them. Come on, no one said this. This is not what was raised at all. The biggest risk is that it's got all your data and that you can't do a lot of stuff unless you provide this information. And of course, we talked about years ago, the Black Mirror episodes, didn't we? Where, you know, all the digital ID, and then it gets linked to a social credit score, and then it gets linked to your banking. And this sort of stuff already, you know, this is not, sometimes people will say, oh, Neil's exaggerating here. This will never happen in the world. It already exists. You look at China, it exists there already. I was telling someone, it was a while back now, that if you have a low social credit score, the way you can increase it, this is what a Chinese person told me, by the way, was that you do either like social work, I don't know how to describe it, but you do sort of public work for free and that can boost it, or you give a donation and then that donation goes to the government or whoever and that boosts your score. And someone said, that doesn't exist. That's not true. I had to actually prove it to someone because they didn't exist. That was a thing. They didn't believe that was actually a thing when it really is. So there's a lot of things that are going to happen here. It's a lower threshold than we would have liked to have seen. So we would advocate that any law enforcement or police access needs to be highly restricted and for investigation of serious crimes only. So they're saying that was the only thing that was raised. No one had any other concerns. It's actually a really decent piece of legislation, someone said. No one said that. I mean, what? Maybe this lady who put it together. Now, as I was going through, I saw this small print here and I almost overlooked it. But then I went back and said, ah, okay. So remember, this is all about security and it's about helping the government and the police force to police you better, to make sure that people are who they say they are, even though they've, you know, there's open borders everywhere. But now all of a sudden they want to police better, find out who people are. I mean, it's a joke, but look what it says. It says finance minister, finance, money, currency, has been leading the government's national digital ID push. Why would a finance minister be pushing the government's national ID? It's obvious to me. This is nothing to do with security and policing. It's to do with money, finance, and the central bank digital currency. But now they're saying this will be completely voluntary. And maybe it will at the start. Maybe it will be voluntary. But like all of these things, they start voluntary. They start very soft just to get it over the line. And then once it's over the line, then they change everything around. It's no longer voluntary. Oh, there's this cyber attack. There's this hacking group. Oh, it's, you know, they'll come up with someone. Now it needs to be compulsory for everyone. And then next it will be, okay, well, look, Australia's done it and it's great. The citizens love it. Look at this survey, 99.97% positive feedback. All right, who was in this survey? Oh, well, that's private. That's confidential. And then, okay, well, we need to enact this as well then. And another thing, you think of who they're taking advice from, like this finance minister. Have you seen this video? If not, you've got to see this video.
It obviously begs the question, why exactly are we borrowing in a currency that we print ourselves? I'm waiting for someone to stand up and say, why do we borrow our own currency in the first place?
Like you said, they print the dollar. So why does the government even borrow?
Well,
okay, I've got to just mention one thing before this before this plays. This is a question that I see asked all the time and no one ever answers it. And many of you will remember in my money psychology course, I talked about this in great detail and I explained, I mean, I don't know if I could have gone into any more detail on how the system works in terms of money, because if you don't understand the psychology of money, you'll never get to keep your money. I see this all the time when, I know I don't mentor as much as I used to, and I'm saying that now because if I mention mentoring, people will start saying, oh, is it open again? I'm not doing it at the moment because I'm trying to get the course going and the new course release. But if you think about even when I'm mentoring people and they say to me, Neil, I just can't get ahead. I'm making all this money, but I can't get ahead. I don't understand why. It's because the system is designed in this way to stop you from getting ahead. That's why it's tiered. Right, you think of the UK, what's the tax system? It's like 20%. Then it goes to 40%, then it goes to 45%, then there's 12% national insurance or whatever it is today. The more you earn, the more you pay in taxes. And then there's all sorts of other taxes all around it. So it's designed in this way. So can they just print money and, you know, so you don't even need to pay taxes? The answer is yes, they can. They can do that. But that's not how the system is designed. The system is designed to keep people in their positions. I know a lot of people or economists will say, oh, that's a load of baloney. That's just a conspiracy theory or whatever people say. That is from all of my research going back through history and economics. That is my view. And no one's going to change my mind on that. That is what I think is the truth around it. They can print money. They can. There's no reason to pay taxes. But that's it. But anyway, let's hear what this man has to say, who is the advisor to President Biden. Okay, so President Biden's economic advisor.
Some of this stuff gets some of the language that the MM, some of the language and concepts are just confusing. I mean, the government definitely prints money. And it definitely lends that money, which is why the government definitely prints money, and then it lends that money by selling bonds. Is that what they do? They sell bonds. Yeah, they sell bonds, right? Since they sell bonds, and people buy the bonds and lend them the money. Yeah. So a lot of times, at least to my ear with MMT, the language and the concepts can be kind of unnecessarily confusing, but there is no question that the government prints money and then it uses that money to I don't get it, I don't know what they're talking about, like, because it's like,
okay, we'll leave it there, we'll leave it there, let the man off the hook. I mean, I do feel bad for the guy as well, because what he's trying to explain is very complex and it's designed to be extremely complicated. It's designed in a way that people aren't supposed to understand how all this works. But I feel bad for that guy. I really do. I mean, you don't ask him that question without, you know, telling him beforehand, because he's no way going to be able to answer it. But what else have we got? We've got Klaus stepping down as the World Economic Forum Executive Chairman. Now, what I thought was interesting about this, he's obviously put all these cronies in place to take over. Oh, my throat's going today. Oh. But one thing I thought was interesting was that he took over, excuse me, in 1971. Now, that's quite interesting. If you know what happened in 1971, if you haven't seen this website, check it out. It's called WTFHappenedIn1971.com. It is really, really interesting. It'll take me an hour to go through it all. So have a look at this website when you get a moment, and it will show you all the things that actually occurred in 1971. That was the pivotal year, really. And it just so happens that he was placed into this position in 1971. I didn't know that, and I thought that was quite interesting. Here he is. Nothing strange about that outfit whatsoever. Completely normal thing to wear. Now, the last thing I wanted to mention, which was big news over the last week, was China dumping the largest amount of US treasuries in history. And there's a lot of different viewpoints on this. I'm going to kind of sit in the middle on it. Some people think it's because China's having a major currency crisis and they need to sell. Others think it's because they're trying to move away from the US dollar. I'm kind of sitting in the middle, and Bloomberg saying they want to diversify away because of the risk, sanctions and conflict and all the other things. You probably heard China's been doing a lot of exercises around Taiwan at the moment. And if you listen to CNN, it's because they're going to invade any day. But if you listen to any, you know, in the middle media stream, they'll say it's probably for a future invasion. But who actually knows? But they offloaded 53.3 billion in treasuries. Belgium, often seen as the custodian, disposed of 22 billion during the period. My throat is not holding up today. It's all that pollution over the last couple of days. China's investments. So hold on, let's have a quick look here. So they're saying that they're trying to get away from the US dollar and actually increase in terms of gold. Now, that's actually a good thing to do, because you look at the gold price over the last year, it's up 19%. Versus you look at what the dollar's done in the last year. It hasn't done 19%. So even though they're being critical of China's strategy to diversify away from US dollars, I would say it's probably the right strategy. And the other thing people aren't talking about is that the more de-dollarization occurs, it will weaken the dollar because it's just supply and demand. But one point people aren't mentioning, and this is the, by the way, this is the trade. This is the cross-border payments. I'll show you in the next image here. So it's actually increasing in the Chinese yuan and decreasing in the dollar. So it's already crossed over now. But this is what people aren't saying. US dollar still has the most exchange transactions in the world. Yes, we have others growing. You can see here it's growing. But they still do have the most in the world. So that's not going to change just yet. So yes, there is de-dollarization occurring. I do agree with that, but it's not on the scale they're talking about. But if you look at this chart, it tells you exactly where this is going. Look in March 2010, 0.3%. March 2024, 52.9%. So it's obvious where they are moving towards, and I think this is going to continue. And you can even see the USD 2013 to 2022. It's actually up 1.5 percentage point. But the yuan is up 5%. So we can see where this is, where all of this is going towards. It is going towards de-dollarization. But I think you've got a bit of time yet. I don't think it's going to happen, you know, like some of these articles. Oh, it's going to happen next month. Not really. I think you're going to see more countries move towards BRICS with more membership this year, and they'll start to do cross-border payments in their own currencies. You know what? My voice is gone, ladies and gents. You can probably see my eyes are watering here. I'm not sure what's going on. Probably all that pollution in France and Birmingham the last week. So I'm going to cut the stream short here before my voice absolutely gets destroyed. Thanks for being online. Take care. God bless. I'll see you next week.